true and lasting vision rarely emerges out of certainty and security. It's often out of some form of breakdown, chaos and upheaval that vision emerges and provides hope and some coherence for an uncertain future. When the church or wider society feels secure and is coping well, there's little room for questions, no time to reflect, nor any interest in contemplating a different future. It's often within very rigid institutions, both in the church and society, that even the thought of change is considered repellent. Change is deeply threatening and undermining, and carries with it the uncertainty and some insecurity, which becomes a seedbed of controlling, fear-induced fundamentalism, or the springboard for a risky, courageous, and adventurous faith. The disturbing passages that we looked at last week in Isaiah carry with them signs of hope in the midst of despair, some light in the enveloping darkness, and the prospects of new beginnings when everything else seems to be falling apart. Throughout the Bible we see God's hand in bringing a hope and a future to his people, often out of the experience of exile, disaster or crisis. Think about the present circumstances. Perhaps those that you are facing personally, or it might be where the church you are a part of is at present. Or it may be the broader canvas of the neighbourhood, region, nation, or the global context. Whatever and wherever, Advent is a good time to ask, what vision do I have for my life, church, society and the world? The Advent story begins with the creation narratives, continues through the prophets, and culminates with the coming of Jesus into the world. And in his coming, God provides the way to a new vision of life, a vision that speaks of hope, not just to the church, but to the whole world. Whilst it might be challenging, and at times like this tough for us here in Britain, to live with the consequences of an economic recession, relatively speaking, we live in a very prosperous and affluent society. Compare what we possess, consume and use with other parts of the world, and we are rich beyond compare. Though there is poverty and hardship, increasingly so in our society, by comparison to millions throughout the world who battle with malnutrition, who lack clean water, who contend with disease, with little or no health care, poor housing, and who are the victims of warfare, injustice and depression, living on less than a pound a day, we are, to quote the famous book, rich Christians in an age of hunger. If we're to enter into an understanding of those words in Isaiah, we must try and imagine what life is like for those who do not possess or enjoy the things that we so often take for granted.
On that day this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up victory like fortified walls. Open the gates so that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. Those of steadfast mind you keep in peace because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord God you have an everlasting rock. For he has brought low the inhabitants of the height, the lofty city he lays low. He lays it low to the ground, casts it to the dust. The foot tramples it, the feet of the poor, the steps of the needy. The way of the righteous is level. O just one, you make smooth the path of the righteous. In the path of your judgments, O Lord, we wait for you. Your name and your renown are the soul's desire. My soul yearns for you in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. If favour is shown to the wicked, they do not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness they deal perversely. and do not see the majesty of the Lord. O Lord, your hand is lifted up, but they do not see it. Let them see your zeal for your people and be ashamed. Let the fire for your adversaries consume them. O Lord, you will ordain peace for us. For indeed, all that we have done, you have done for us. O Lord our God, other lords besides you have ruled over us, but we acknowledge your name alone.
The passage contains both a vision and a prayer. It imagines a new and different world, a different way of living, a way of life that speaks of hope and reflects his values and his ways. The Advent story reminds us that the God whom we worship and come to know through Jesus is the one who brings us a new future, a hope to those who feel trapped, to the despairing and to those who feel helpless and hopeless. It's the good news story, offering a future and a hope not only to those who are victims of an unjust, violent, economically and morally ruined society, but a vision of life for those who care about the world and all who live in it. And it's a vision that arises in the midst of present troubles. In order to begin to see the realization of this new way, there's not only forgiveness, restoration, and renewal that God performs, but there is also the need for us to change how we live, to realize this vision of a new and different future. The words of the prophet promise hope, but they sound an urgent wake-up call to all of us. In Isaiah chapter 28, having painted a horrendous picture of God's judgment, there emerges a call which promises new life and hope. Even in the midst of the chaos and crisis caused either by natural disaster or human error, it's clear that even under the storm of God's ensuing judgment, in his mercy, he is laying the foundations for a new world order. The firm foundation, the valuable cornerstone that foretells Christ's coming, he is the foundation upon which the kingdom of God and a new way of living is built. A new way of being society, either big or small, is established. Listen to any news bulletin, and given the complexities and constant changing circumstances and the vagaries of the world's financial markets, arrayed across our television screens and radio broadcasts are the voices of pundits, politicians, and so-called economic experts, who in needing to portray confidence and knowledge often reveal ignorance and folly. No, the essential gift in the midst of such uncertainty is wisdom, not just knowledge. And Isaiah reminds us that it is from the Lord, the all-powerful God, that such wisdom comes. Advent, therefore, continues to call us to some sober reflection, not only to our present state, but on the future for ourselves and the world in which we live. And we can look with confidence to the Lord, never being afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. We are called, as Isaiah reminded his people, to pay close attention to what the Lord says. For he is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. Wisdom is the fruit of a life lived in dependency upon God. It should inform our lives and direct us in the ways of God and his kingdom.
Let's listen now to some new words which we wrote as a community, set to a familiar hymn tune, which expresses our dependency upon God in these present changing days.
That we might follow you, that we
light a candle and pray for yourself, for your church, for your neighbourhood and local community, for Britain, and for the nations of the world, perhaps focusing on those for whom the prospect of a healthy diet, clean water, secure housing, a good education, access to healthcare are but a distant dream. Consider before purchasing that next unnecessary gift or present, that item that is really not that essential, that we could all give someone who is deprived of the basic necessities of life, a foretaste of a world that is to come. Now that's a Christmas present worth thinking about. Just a thought.